A very good morning to you all, dear brethren, and good evening to some of the brethren all around the world. Greetings of peace and joy to all in the name of our Almighty God and our returned and reigning King, Lord Jesus Christ. I thank Lord for giving me this opportunity to serve His flock and also the Convention Committee brethren for giving me an opportunity to serve. Brethren, today we're going to study on the topic nine precious stones covering Lucifer, the details of which is given to us in Ezekiel chapter 28. I would like to present this as a suggestion before all the saints to ponder upon. Generally, we choose good examples and study from the Bible. But we would not choose a bad example. But today, let us take up a bad example and learn some lessons from them. Because the Bible tells in 2 Timothy 3rd chapter 16 and 17 that the Holy Scriptures are given to make us wise unto salvation, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If this is the case, then surely there must be some good lesson even in the bad example. Therefore, today, let us study one bad example. Who is the cause for all evil? The devil. Can anything be learned from Satan? Yes, surely we can learn some lessons, or else God would not have recorded it in the Bible. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 11 to 19, we read about Lucifer, how he was made and what made him to sin and his consequences and his destruction. So let us all turn our Bible to Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 and 12. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up the lamentation unto the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Lucifer was created perfect, up to the mark, lacking nothing. Therefore, his fall cannot be accounted to God. Lucifer was perfect in beauty, and beauty in the Bible means character. What is the beauty of character Lucifer had? It is given in verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou was created. He was covered and decorated with all these precious stones. So how many stones are there? There are nine totally. That is called as Navaratna in India. People today wear a Navaratna ring, which is one of the trademark of Satan. What does the stone represents? Each stone has a particular quality and a particular meaning. Therefore, each stone represents a character. It is because of this that some people wear particular lucky stones or gems like diamond or emerald, thinking it would help them prosper. Therefore, what is the meaning of these nine stones? Let us look into these stones individually and see what does each mean. The first stone is sardis. Sardis is a red stone. In olden days, they use this stone to heal the wound. Similarly, mankind was wounded by sin and as a result, death. God gave his only begotten son to heal this wound of death. This shows the depth of God's love. Therefore, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to save us. John 3:16. Therefore, this sardis stone represents God's love. Lucifer, when originally created, had this primary quality in him, which is the most important of all the characters to dwell among the angels in heaven. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13th verse. The second stone is topaz. Topaz means seek. When rubbed vigorously, this stone generates electrostatic charges. This portrays the transmission capabilities of power and grace of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, this stone represents grace, a sense of consideration, a disposition of kindness and compassion for others. He who was one of the morning stars surely must have been full of grace, compassion and kindness towards other angels in his walk and speech. The third stone is diamond. The word diamond seems to be a wrong translation. It should actually be rock crystal, which is a type of diamond. Because of its fixed vibrating frequency, this stone is used in communication equipments. Spiritually, this represents a special caste of communicators or coordinators. Lucifer was such a communicator of God's message. Therefore, in the Bible, angels are sometimes called as messenger of God. And about Lucifer, it tells in Ezekiel 28:14, the dove was upon the holy mountain of God, which is heaven. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, stars of the universe, as God's messenger. The fourth stone is beryl. What does beryl symbolize? In Ezekiel 1st chapter, verses 10, 15 and 16, there were four-faced living creatures having wheels which touched the earth. The color of its wheels was that of a beryl. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creature with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their works was like unto the color of a beryl. These four faces of a cherub represents the four characters of God, namely love, power, justice, and wisdom. And this cherub had a wheel touching the earth. What are these wheels? Wheels mean cycles or epochs or dispensation or the ages in God's divine plan, which reveal the four important characters of God. That is, these wheels show the height, the depth, length, and breadth of God's wisdom. Therefore, beryl represents the wisdom of God. So we read in Ezekiel 28:12 that Lucifer was full of wisdom. The fifth stone is onyx. The name onyx is a traditional name. It is now called as sardonyx. The fine quality sardonyx would have actually three layers: a black base, a white middle layer, a red top layer. What does the black color represent in the Bible? Black in the Bible represents trials, tribulations, persecutions. God allowed tribulation in our life to develop patience and humbleness. Romans 5:3. Therefore, here black symbolizes humbleness. White, as we all know, represents purity, and red symbolizes blood and death. Therefore, all these three qualities in one stone represents the quality to remain humble and holy till death. The perfectly created Lucifer was created with the ability to remain and maintain humbleness and holiness till the end, but which he failed to maintain. The sixth stone is Jasper. In Revelation 4:3, God is compared to a Jasper. He that sat upon the throne was to look upon like a Jasper, which means perfection, and that God is perfect. In Matthew 5:48, it says, "Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Similarly, Lucifer was created perfect. Ezekiel 28:15. The seventh stone is Sapphire. It is a fine blue stone. The blue in the Bible signifies faithfulness. The sky is blue in color, which shows the faithfulness of God in that he gives rain and sunshine to all, both to the good and the bad. Therefore, this blue stone represents the faithfulness towards Divine One. Lucifer is called a son of morning, Isaiah 14:12. Who is the first morning star? It is Lord Jesus Christ. So Lucifer was a son of this bright morning star, means he is the first creation of Jesus. Similarly, even as Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, meaning the first creation of God, similarly, Lucifer was the first creation of Jesus. He was faithful to God since his creation. And how many years was it? The creative days, 6 into 7,000 years each, would be 42,000 years, which means that Lucifer was faithful to God for a minimum period of at least 42,000 years. The eighth stone, emerald, it is a green color stone, and green in the Bible signifies everlasting life. The life of mankind is now compared to a grass, which will be for a few days and fade away. But the life of the people during the 1,000 years is compared to a tree. See and compare Isaiah 65:22 and Isaiah 40:7. Therefore, emerald represents everlasting life. Lucifer, when created, had everlasting life. If he wished and had he not sinned, he could have lived forever. The ninth and the last stone is carbuncle. This stone is also called as chalcedony. It is found hidden in the copper mines. This, when put to terrific heat and cut and polished, it gives out its beauty. Similarly, when we are chosen out of the copper mines, earthly human conditions, and put to refine as fire or fiery trials, what is that we should show? We should show perfect submission towards God. Then only can God mold us and cut us properly that we may shine as beautiful gems. Therefore, this stone represents submission. Lucifer was initially submissive when he was told to be an anointed cherub that covereth as a guardian angel for mankind. Therefore, Lucifer had these nine gem-like qualities in him. Sardis means love. Topaz means grace and kindness. Diamond means messenger of God. Beryl means wisdom. Sardonyx means humble and holy. Jasper means perfection. Sapphire means faithfulness. Emerald means everlasting life. Carbuncle means submission. Dear brethren, Lucifer was completely filled with all these qualities and was perfect in all his ways. Then why did he sin against God, and what was his sin? It is given in Ezekiel 28 chapter verses 15, 16 and 17. It tells, till iniquity was found in thee. What is this iniquity? Verse 16, it tells, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. The sin was pride in his heart, which is abomination in God's sight. Proverbs 16:5. Even before Satan expressed it outwardly, it was in his heart. But outwardly, he would pretend to be good, though none knew his thoughts. God knew his heart and thoughts. Therefore, God arranged a situation in which he could be tested and express his real intention. Then God created man who was much lower than the angels and gave the whole dominion of the earth to them. They were created with a special capacity to reproduce their own types of species, which was a wonder in the whole universe, because such a power was never given to any other creation. Even the angels did not have this power. After giving the dominion of the whole earth, God commanded Adam to eat fruit freely, the fruit of any tree in the garden, except the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and attached a penalty to this saying, in the day you eat the fruit thereof, you shall surely die, which was a strange thing to all the angels, because never had been such a law given to any of the angels, neither such penalty called as death. It was the first time that they had heard such a penalty called death. It is upon this lower creation that God had appointed Lucifer to be a watchman. Lucifer being a morning star next to Jesus and above all angels could not humble himself to such a level to be a servant of one lower than him. It was like telling to a manager of a company to be a watchman. Similarly, Lucifer could not humble himself to such a low extent and began to misunderstand God's purpose in this and began to think, Jesus is already walking in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve recognize him as their God, as the master, but me merely as a security guard, a watchman for their house, Eden. So all the respect and honor is given to Logos and unto me. Moreover, today I am a watchman for one pair. Tomorrow, if their children are born, then I will be a watchman over many. If these come to know of my early status, that I was once a morning star above angels next to Jesus, it will be a shame and an insult to me. And all will talk about me. It will be a still greater insult before all the angels. None would respect me. With these thoughts, Satan began to fill himself with violence. This went to his head. It is then that he decided, as mentioned in Isaiah 14 chapter, verse 13 and 14. I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Thinking what God has done is not proper. Therefore, by my great wisdom, I will show to all the angels and even God himself how to rule properly and how to set up a kingdom. And whom to appoint for what? If only I was in control, I would prove myself to God and all the angels and show how wise I am. Inspired by this wrong thought, Satan decided somehow to bring Adam and Eve into his control so that he could be king over the earth instead of them. Even as the proverb goes, pride makes someone blind. Lucifer became so blinded that he never went about fulfilling his plan. By telling a lie to Adam and Eve that they would not die because he himself had never seen death and knew not its true meaning. This is how he sinned, and this sin began to multiply day after day. Therefore, verse 18 tells that by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic, in all evil things began to come one by one. First in thoughts, then in words, a lie. Then it was manifested in action by deceiving Eve. This iniquity began to multiply and increase in traffic day by day. Because after every sin, he would see what God would do. And God did nothing while he kept all his powers the same. This gave him an added boost to sin more and more and increase his traffic of sin. Therefore, what would God do? Verse 18, it tells, therefore, God would bring a fire from himself that would destroy him. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Therefore, God decided to fire his ambitions by not punishing him immediately, so that one day his unquenchable desire for power and ambition would consume him and destroy him like a fire. This verse also suggests that Satan would be manifest in the flesh in the future. And mostly this may take place in a little season when Satan is let loose again, during which he would be given an opportunity to manifest in the flesh. Satan had done this sometime before, and Jesus mentions this in Matthew 12:24, and Once he manifests in the flesh, he shall be locked in his human nature and never allowed to return back. As he had once locked from manifesting and remanifesting in the flesh during the flood at the end of the first world. Similarly, it will be during the little season that he will be locked in human nature, and it is in this nature that he would be destroyed before all. Or else, someone may tell that Satan is a myth. Ezekiel 28:17, he says, I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. The whole world, by the end of 1,000 years, would be kings of this earth, and they shall all behold the destruction of Satan as an example of how pride would destroy somebody, so they may never allow such thoughts in their minds. His destruction would be made a spectacle to all, even as Christ and the church were made spectacle to the world and the angels. Ezekiel 28:19, all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee, because all will wonder that such a wonderful cherub with all the wonderful character could go to such depth because of pride. And all will learn that pride can ruin even the beauty of a cherub. Everybody will detest as a poison. Thou shall be a terror of second death, and never shall thou be any more. Dear brethren, Satan is compared to precious stones. But is there anybody else who is also compared to precious stones in the Bible? Yes, the church is compared to precious stones in the Bible. Read Revelation 21st chapter, 19th verse. And the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. This city is the New Jerusalem, 144,000. The little flock, the invisible church. See, verse 2. It is compared to a city, because a city in the Bible means religious government. Therefore, even Babylon is compared to a city. In Revelation 18:10, and who was the one who showed this city to John? It is one of the seven angels, as mentioned in Revelation 21:9. And who is this angel? It is the same angel who showed to John about who Babylon is in Revelation 17:7. And this angel is none other than our beloved brother Charles Taze Russell, the seventh angel who showed to the whole world, especially the consecrated class, that all the nominal churches are part of the great Antichrist system, termed by God as Babylon, because of their confused doctrines. And it is the same brother Russell who is now showing the church. He was the one to tell about the fact that the little flock consists of 144,000 spiritual Israel, and the character of the bride and the qualification necessary to be part of the bride class. And how did he show it to the John class or the feet class saints? The character and qualification of the bride. It is by carrying to great high mountain. Verse 10. That is, if you have to understand the necessary character of the bride, we have to leave the earthly condition and go up high in spiritual standards and enter into the kingdom class, the high mountain. Only such are able to understand the character and qualities of the bride properly. And what are the qualities and character of the bride. It is given to us in verse 19 and 20, where it is compared to 12 precious stones, jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, sardis, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprasus, jacinth, and amethyst. It was upon the foundation of the city that these stones were decorated with. This foundation is none other than Jesus Christ. Secondly, the apostles, upon which every man buildeth of gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, whose work shall be tested by fire. Compare 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter 11 to 13 and Revelation 21 14. The first stone is jasper. Jasper represents perfection. This stone is found with spots of brown, but if correctly cut, this can be removed from the stone. Similarly, the church, in spite of imperfections, ultimately qualify for the membership among the Lord's jewels. The second stone is sapphire. This represents faithfulness. Unless the church is faithful until death, they cannot be part of the little flock. The third stone is chalcedony. This represents submission. This is found hidden in the copper mines. When heated and cut and polished, it gives out its beauty. Similarly, church is like a treasure hidden in the earthen vessel, the copper mines. When put to fire, it trails, polished and chiseled properly, they prove their submission to God. Fourth stone is emerald. This represents everlasting life. The everlasting life promised to the church is life on divine nature, where there is no possibility of death. The fifth stone is sardonyx. This represents to remain humble and holy unto death. The sixth stone is sardis. This represents the love, the greatest of all. The seventh stone is chrysolite. It is a golden, greenish, yellow-colored, transparent stone. In olden days, they used it to cure the diseases of the eyes. Eyes in the Bible represents understanding. When Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, the Bible tells that their eyes were opened. Does it mean that they were blind? No. It is their eyes of understanding that was opened. Therefore, this stone represents understanding, and understanding of God's will. In our life, although Satan was created perfect, he lacked this quality to recognize God's will. In giving him such a humbling experience, but the church is having this wonderful quality that nothing in the life is a surprise, that all things is permitted of the Lord. Even the very hairs of the head are being numbered, and the very sparrow do not fall to the ground without God's will. Therefore, all things are permitted for our good. This understanding the church should have if they must be joint heirs with Christ. How much ever we beg, God would not give us the things which would cause us harm, though it seems good in our sight. And whatever is good for us, he would never withhold, though we would not want it. Such infinite and unerring is his wisdom. This important quality to understand God's will, the church should have, or else they can never be part of the little flock. Devadran, the eighth stone is beryl. Beryl represents wisdom. Therefore, the little flock in the Bible is compared to wise virgins. The ninth stone is topaz, which represents grace. The church should have the transmission capabilities of the grace of the Holy Spirit, the ability to attract the truth seekers through kindness and compassion. They should be full of grace in words and actions. The tenth stone is chrysoprasus. It is a green gemstone. Its name means hardness. And as the name suggests, it is known for its hardness next to diamond. Similarly, one of the greatest quality of a good soldier of cross is to endure the hardness of trials and be more than conquerors. Though Satan had nine qualities full in him, he did not have the quality to endure hardness. Therefore, he failed in the test. The 11th stone is jacinth. This is graceol in Latin, meaning to turn around the sun. This jewel gives forth intense red to orange fire like reflection when it is turned around to bright light. Hence, it is also called as fire opal. This represents the class who are emotionally strong defenders of the faith once delivered to the saints. 12th and the last stone is amethyst. It is a violet stone. It was used as an antidote for drinking in olden days. It is believed that the wine drunk out of the cup of amethyst would not intoxicate but had the ability to purify it. Similarly, the church that are going to rule with Jesus during the 1,000 years should have the capability to purify, cleanse others of the sin and help them to overcome their weakness as being part of the merciful high priest. Satan did not have this quality in him. Instead of cleansing others, he got defiled himself and began to defile others also. Ezekiel 28:18, thou hast defiled a sanctuary by the multitudes of thy iniquities. Therefore, dear brethren, the church should have all these 12 gem-like qualities: jasper, perfection; sapphire, faithfulness; chalcedony, submission; emerald, everlasting life; sardonyx, humble and holy; sardis, love; chrysolite, understanding God's will; beryl, wisdom; topaz, grace and kindness; chrysoprasus, endurance, the hardness; jacinth, defenders of faith; amethyst, capability to purify, cleanse others of the sin. Lucifer, even after having all nine qualities, fell because of pride. Similarly, church, even after having all these 12 qualities, may fall because of pride. If Satan could fall even after God pronouncing him perfect in beauty, full of wisdom, and being with God for more than 42,000 years, how can we escape from this trap of pride without God's grace? The true children of God are now on trial for eternal life and eternal death. And of all the temptations of sin, of spiritual pride is one of the most dangerous. In portion, the pride comes, the spirit of the Lord departs, and the spirituality ceases. This spiritual sickness, unless curbed, leads to second death. Because Lord resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. James 4:6. Therefore, Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 5:6, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God. Pardon, 1 Peter 5:6. And our Lord said in Matthew 23:12, he that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Therefore, dear brethren, there are 10 things that the pride does. You see, it would cheat us of God's blessings. Second, the Lord would chastise us to drop the pride in us. This might be permitting an humbling beast-like experience to that of Nebuchadnezzar. It leads us to second death. Pride is a nose to hang ourselves. Moses, the meekest of all, just because of one mistake, and the only one that he could, that he could not enter land of Canaan. Why? Because of pride. Numbers 12:3. Similarly, if we persist, we would go to second death. The pride magnifies our present experiences. The fifth one, it is easily offended. If not called for prayer, or if somebody does not recognize us, we feel bad because pride expects us that we should be great and recognized by all. What were we before we came to know the truth, dear brethren? Nothing. Then why expect to be something? If God recognizes us, that is sufficient. King Saul felt the same, that all recognized David, but not because of pride. Pride leads us to madness and do awful things. Saul began to throw a javelin on David and later sought a witch to know the future. Pride will make us lose small opportunities to serve the Lord and lookingly for big opportunities to shine. Pride, a person who is proud, he is in his worst prison, because he will be thinking of what others would think of him rather than thinking what God thinks of him, and thus be in captive and would not be free for express himself. And pride would create and stir up trouble. Pride is a barrier between God and us, because God dwells in the humble and not in the proud. God initially created the stone called Lucifer, then tested him. It was like artificial diamond, not durable, but a cheap one, less attractive. Therefore, God had decided to first prepare the diamond in a natural way by intense pressure and heat, which is thoroughly tested and durable, more expensive, much more attractive. The jewels are now in course for the future position. Therefore, God intended us to learn lessons by way of these stones. It is of the earth's common element that the stones are made. Similarly, the Lord's jewels are made of the commonest element of human society, the poor. Though there are many elements found in the earth's crust, only a few become gems. That too becomes of excessive heat, high pressure, slow cooling. Similarly, among the many called, only the few become the chosen, and still few become the gems, the Lord's jewels class. And these, because of fiery trials, pressure of the circumstances being rightly exercised by these trials, thus they are made fit in the golden sockets of the divine nature. But in Christ you have an added beauty by bearing other trials like misunderstanding, reproaches, etc. Therefore, let us all rightly be exercised of the trials and pray that we may be of the jewel class. Amen. May the Lord add his blessings to an understanding of his holy words. I once again thank my Heavenly Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving this opportunity, and the Convention Committee for giving me the opportunity to serve his little flock. I also thank the translator brethren for translating the Lord's words in various languages. If anyone has any questions, you can WhatsApp me. God bless all. Till we meet again.
Thank you, Brother Raju. Such a wonderful discourse. And indeed, a lot of blessings that personally I've received from this discourse. Prior to having the brethren. Prior to the brethren asking questions, we shall first of all have a hymn. We shall have hymn number one. And after that hymn, Brother Raju will give us a closing prayer for his discourse. And the Zoom will be open to brethren to ask questions in relation to Brother Raju's discourse. Thank you.
Okay. It's very hard to see it, but
sweet spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above, be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step reside.
Yes, Brother Raju, over to you.
Shall we have a word of prayer, brother, or shall we wait for questions, brother?
Word of prayer to close the discourse, and then shall have the questions after.
Thank you, brother. Let us all bow down our heads for a word of prayer. Our most gracious, precious, ever-loving Father, great God Almighty, we thank you, we praise you for all the wonderful things with those created, through which those revealed the wonderful characters of love, power, wisdom, and justice. Lord, we are nothing but dust. We are unworthy. We are unprofitable servants. But thou hast been abundantly merciful and gracious towards us. But thou hast been still giving us opportunity day upon day, counting us among the living. Thank you for giving all the wonderful examples in the scriptures. Help us to take personal lessons from these examples and to overcome all our weaknesses, and to cleanse us of all filthiness of the flesh, and to live a life which is pleasing in thy sight, and to change ourselves into the image of Christ. Heavenly Father, you know all our shortcomings. We pray that thy grace may be abundantly upon us. Thou may give us more strength to fight and overcome and to live a life which is pleasing in thy sights. Even as we are going to partake the Lord's memorial in the coming days, help us to cleanse ourselves of all the filthiness of the flesh and develop love. Heavenly Father, we thank you for organizing such meetings through which we have fellowship with the brethren all over the world. We pray that they may continue the brothers and sisters abundantly, that they may be blessings to others also. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Raju, for such a wonderful discourse. Brethren, please feel free to raise your hand, and Brother Raju will be in charge, in control, to call upon the brethren who have questions as per the discourse. Seeing Brother David stay.
Well, I don't have a question, but I just want to thank Brother Raju for a very insightful. I was wondering about the nine stones as opposed to the 12 stones in the breastplate of the high priest, and really appreciated his insight. So thank you very much, Brother Raju. And dear brethren, love you all. We have to leave. So Lord be with you.
Thank you, Brother Steyn. Lord be with you.
Brother David, nice to hear from you. And thank you, Brother Raju, for your wonderful message. I really enjoyed it, and I wish I would have heard more of it.
Thank you, Brother David and Brother Drake. It's our Lord's grace. It is off his table, but God has given us the privilege to share with you all. So we thank the Lord for it, Brother.
And Brother Drake, we've heard that you are wrestling with some medical issues. You are in our prayers, and we trust the Lord will strengthen you through it.
Thank you very much. I will continue to trust in the Lord every day and hour, and I thank you for your concern.
All right. Love you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Much. Goodbye.
Good evening, Brother Raju. This is Brother Godwin here. How are you?
Oh,
nice to see you,
brother. I'm fine, by God's grace. How about you?
Doing good, brother. Very nice to see you. Thank you for your discourse. Sorry, I was a little bit late. Could you share that document again in the chat, please? Sorry.
Yeah, definitely. I share that in the chat again, brother, everybody.
Please convey my love to family and brothers.
Sure, brother. I'll definitely convey my regards to everybody. Take care of your health. Convey my regards to brother, all the brethren there in Ecclesia.
Will do, brother. Will do. Thank you so much. God bless.
Okay, then brother Ivan.
Yes, brother Raju, thank you for the discourse. And I have a question. As we're presenting, I hope I heard you well. You said that Lucifer, he was corrupted by the multitude of his merchandise. So it seems due to his beauty, he was corrupted, and this corruption was read in his heart. Though outwardly, he was not manifesting that until when God provided a suitable providential circumstance that would reveal that which was in his heart. So here comes my question. Do you believe or think Lucifer's corruption started before the creation of man?
No, because in Ezekiel 28 chapter, if you read verse 13, 14 and all, it says that he was an anointed cherub. So he was very obedient when man was created. In Job 38 chapter, it says, when both the morning stars sang together. So there's a very clear scripture which tells both the morning stars, along with all the angels, they were very happy during the creation of this world and the creation of man. When God made him to be a guardian angel, he was even obedient to agree to it and come as a guardian angel. But as he came, as he literally began to be as a guardian angel, then only he realized that Adam and Eve were considered more superior or considered as the actual prince of this earth, and he was like a humiliating experience to him. Though he was an angel, though he was much higher than human beings, instead of thinking in that way, he thought, so God has made me, particularly put me in a very low estate where I can be humiliated. So he thought it in a wrong way. So he was quite obedient, quite well enough, until God had made him to come to the earth and do the job. So it is after that he came that he began to develop that pride in him, and that's how the rest of things happened.
Thank you, Brother Raju, for your comment on that question. And let me give opportunity to other brothers and sisters who have any question for Brother Raju as part of the discourse.
Okay. Well, I did not get in the beginning, but would you please extend that into the current presence of the harvest? A little more detail, if you kindly would.
Pardon, brother, I did not get your question.
I'm sorry.
I did not get your question.
Okay. So I see there's a lot of interesting questions in the quick part of the model that I reviewed. And what do you think is going to happen, say, in the next few years? Let's just say in Israel. What are your thoughts about that?
Thank you. I am not so sure whether I can present those thoughts in this platform, because one of the things is that the presentation was a different subject altogether. But with the permission of the chairman, I'd like to present only a few thoughts. We all know very well that Israel will be composed of a lot of enemies. Ezekiel, it says that all his enemies, all his surrounding enemies, all the nations will come and cover Israel as a cloud. And that's going to be a final climax upon Israel, from which the Israel shall be delivered and God's kingdom shall be established on earth. So what I think is that the current peace process would bring no result to Israel. Instead, as a Bible prophecy, we see as the days goes on, when man shall say peace, trouble shall come upon them suddenly. So in the future days, we can expect more trouble than more peace. Thank you, brother.
Yes, I will accept that, because it's a conflict. But eventually, of course, the Lord's going to resolve it.
Yes, brother, sure.
tried to read it. It seems like a really good speech that you wrote.
God's grace, brother. Please go through. Any suggestions, you can let me know.
Thank you. I got your email.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Sister Eva.
Ja bi se isto zahvalila na tom predivnom predavanju. Jako je bilo lepo i jasno je bilo. I želim bratu Rađiju što rani oporavak što se tiče njegovog zdravlja. Imala bi jedno pitanje. Šta bi se desilo u slučaju da...
Sister, can somebody do the
Yes.
translation in
Yeah,
English?
Yes, yes. Oh, it's okay, Sister Eva. She expressed her gratefulness, brother, for your wonderful talk, and she have one question.
Okay.
I postavila bi pitanje šta bi se desilo da bi se on pomirio sa njegovom sudbinom Sotona da je ostao kao stražar Adama i Eve.
She asked very interesting question. What would happen if he, for example, if he that it's assumption that if he for example was satisfied with his position as a cherub in Eden, what then how then things will be in that case?
Well, I don't know the answer because Bible doesn't give the answer, but we can just only imagine, because Bible is completely paused on that one. If Satan had not sinned, we don't know what would have happened. But sure for it that God would have made an alternate arrangement where mankind could surely gain that experience of sin and have that exceeding sinfulness of sin where they can appreciate good. That's my answer, sister.
Thank you, Brother Raju.
Thank you, sir. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else has got any question?
Okay, if nobody has, we can close the meeting. Okay.
Brother Drake has.
Sorry, I just want to compliment your background, Chart of the Ages, because that always brings out the truths that nothing brings out. Because sometimes brethren have a lot of truth, but if they forget some of the truths in the background, they don't have 99% of the truth that you have brought out. So thank you. I can see your chief bringing the Lord's exact truths.
Over. Thank you, brother. Lord's grace, Lord's mercy. I thank the Lord for it, brother.
Brother Raju?
Yeah, brother, tell me, brother.
Yeah, sorry for coming back. But it was such a wonderful discourse. It has kept me thinking. And the more insights you've shared today, it has given us an appreciation of a statement by Brother Paul that let he who thinketh standeth, take heed lest he fall. So, because I'm thinking, We appreciate from Bible chronology and the Jubilee cycles that at least Adam stayed in the Garden of Eden for 2 years before his fall so far. But also what you've shared, that we also know that the minimum period of 42 years, at least, so I'll say 42 years plus two, not all plus two, I'm not so sure, but minimum of 42 years, Lucifer was obedient to his creator and was obedient to the divine government and principles. Looking at the present period of time we are in today, a lot of trials ongoing, especially as we are seeing the church finishing its course. What would be your, from a practical point of view, your response or advice on this dangerous plague called pride? Before we close, thank you.
Okay, thank you, brother. So when I meant that Lucifer was faithful to God for 42,000 years, it's not 42 years, it's 42,000 years. So how do you come to 42,000 years? We know each creative day is a period of 7,000 years. So man was created on the sixth day. When sin entered, the seventh day began. So before sin entered, there were six creative days. 7,000 into six creative days would be 42,000. That's the minimum period which we come to know through the scriptures that Lucifer was faithful to God. Just imagine being faithful to God for 42,000 years, seeing God face to face, being part of all the creative works. Having fellowship with Jesus and all the holy angels, not even a thought of evil, experiencing all these things for 42,000 years, and just because of one thing, a very, very small thing, he became a sinner. That is the magnitude of pride. That is the danger of pride. A small, just a small, you see, catalyst of pride, it can completely destroy. It completely destroyed a morning star, not just an angel. This is a very terrible warning for each and every consecrated brethren. It's a natural tendency that we feel pride, we get that ego. We get that superiority complex. We have that comparison to others. Unnecessary leading ourselves into temptation, being disturbed in mind. At this moment, it's better that we humble ourselves in the sight of God. There will be some situations in our life, of course, it will be in everybody's life, which keeps on disturbing our mind. Because of some of the activities of the other brethren or sister, it will keep on irritating your mind. In those matters, we got a lot of scriptures we say in the Bible. And Brother Russell says in the sixth volume, the final of the all the test is brotherly love. And many of the consecrated fail in this one. It's a very, very difficult task. It's very easy to speak, practically to say. It's very difficult to practice in your life. But yet, if you want to win the crown, we need to do it. We need to submit some things into the hands of God. He knows better than what all we think, what all we can imagine. His wisdom never faileth. So having faith in God, having trusted his precious promises, it's better that we surrender some things to God and keep quiet. Lord will do good in his own time. So that's my small suggestion as to how pride might come and how we need to tackle this one. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brother Raju. I hand over to the hosts, Brother Miroslav and the Croatia.
I think Sister Ruzika from Croatia, she's raised her hand.
Ja bi se zahvalila bratu i braći svima da smo se sastali ovako lijepo da se slavi ime Božije. I
Sister, Sister Ružica says,
ovo nama dobra poruka stražarima, jer mi smo stražari, putujemo, čuvamo i čekamo našega Krista u susret. Da trebamo da budemo zahvalni što smo dobili tako jednu čast da budemo stražari, da znači bdijemo nad nečim vrednim, vrednijem od nas. Normalno, ako stražar nešto čuva, da je to vrednije od njega. Zanimljivo da je Lucifer tu se osjećao povrijeđen. Hvala na odgovoru i Boži blagoslov.
Okay, I think Sister Ružica, she also expressed her gratefulness for the talk, for the discourse, Brother Raju. And she also mentioned in her comment that she compared us as a watchman, as guardians, like Lucifer was in Eden, and how it is important that we must be grateful. And so forth for that, for our privileges and so forth, and but not think that that is something humbling for us. And she only expressed the thought about that, how it is important that.
What do you think we most learned in the 18,000 years before the 42,000 years?
Okay, Brother Midlos, is it over? Shall I proceed?
Yes, yes, you can proceed, Brother Raju. Yes, it's okay.
Okay, thank you, sir. It's of His grace. Okay, before I end, I would like to ask one question to everybody. So you are all asking questions. So let me ask a question to you, all of you. Anyway, there are only 5 to 6 brethren, so it will be a good discussion. So what do you all think? Can Satan read our minds? So what's everybody's thought? Can Satan read our minds? Can he read our thoughts?
No, he cannot. He almost can, but if he could, he couldn't read Jesus 100%, and he couldn't read all of the brethren all the time. That's what I believe.
Good.
That's why he foiled. And in the end, he's destroyed by the end of the 1,000 years.
Good. Thank you. Anybody else?
Ja mislim da ne može, Sotona nema toliku moć.
Sister Ružica, she said that she thinks that he can't, that he don't have such big power.
Okay, good. Anybody else? Okay. So, okay. Yes, Ivan, brother.
Yes, thank you. I don't know if it was Brother Daniel Jemua House, or Brother Ken Rawson, I'm not certain, but I think Brother Morehouse always made a comment that, brethren, be careful of what you're permitting in your mind. And he said, your head is like a glass. Your angel is watching your thoughts. So, in simple terms, he said we should be careful of our thoughts. And to a certain degree, I don't know the limits, but the spirit beings that have the ability to read our minds. And I don't know if others disagree, But I think personally, the adversary, with I don't know what limitations, but he can at times read our minds. That's my humble opinion.
Thank you, brother. Of course, all of your thoughts are absolutely right. Satan and the fallen angels can definitely read our thoughts to a certain extent. If it was not so, you see, if it was not so, then there would not be any incident in the Bible of a demon possessing during the days of Christ. Many were possessed with evil spirits. It is only because the fallen angels could read that they were very weak in their willpower. They were able to access their mind. So it's based upon how strong we are in our willpower that is able to access, you see, our thoughts. As Brother Ivan also told, that our skull, you see, our brain, is actually transparent, you see, before Lucifer. Remember our verse, it says in Ephesians 2:2 that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, which now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, how does he work if he's not able to read the minds? So he influences mankind based on their thoughts, based on their taste. You see, he influences mankind to commit such and such sin. So he has a certain bit of capability, you see, to read human beings' thoughts. Hence, in Ephesians 6, we say that our warfare is against principalities, powers, you see, and powers of wicked darknesses and all. And there's one brother who was there. During the days of Brother Russell, I think so. Brother Robert Shikleman, he mentions this point that our brain is transparent before him. So he understands what we are thinking and he understands what, you see, what thoughts are running in our mind to a certain extent. And based on that one, as we think more than out of the scriptures, that is the time that Satan gets more opportunity and influences us towards his evil activities. Remember Eve? He was a perfect woman. Adam was a perfect woman. He read the mind of Adam, that Adam could not be attacked directly. Hence, he caught hold of Eve. And Eve was a perfect woman. He knew how to tackle Eve because she was seeing the fruit and developing thoughts. You see, then what had God had told her? God had told her not to touch, not to eat the fruit, but he began to reason with her, brought her to discussion, and made her to eat the forbidden fruit. So, to a certain extent, he definitely has that power. And by God's grace, you see, we can overcome it. As 1 John 2:14 it says, young man, you have overcome the devil. How? By keeping the scriptures, by abiding in the scriptures. Thank you. Thank you for all your thoughts. I appreciate your thoughts. Thanks for the discussion. Okay.
Thank you, Brother Raju. Brother Mira, over to you. Though we are not able to hear Brother Miro.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now you can hear me. Okay,
Yes.
thank you, Brother Raju, for your really indeed wonderful discourse and also for a very interesting discussion that we had and interesting questions, especially this about reading our minds. It is very important that we keep our minds. Philippians 4, verse 8 is a recipe for how we can, and as you mentioned, it is very important for that. It is opportunity for him when we turn our minds from the things that is right. Then it is his opportunity to inject his thoughts in our minds and so forth, and on that way he can turn us that we commit some sins and so forth. Okay, thank you, brethren. Thank you all. And now we will close this Zoom room. And I wish you all blessed memorial meditations, and also memorial in April 11th. We will all be in our thoughts and hearts and prayers, dear brethren. Love you all. God be with you all till we meet again next month, last Sunday next month.
Thank you, dear brethren. Lord bless.
Yes, bye. God bless you.
Bye-bye.